We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning. It's good to see all of us this morning in church. For those that are listening online and watching online, the building is open. If you're able to come, please do visit and join us for worship in person. We will continue online, but you probably agree with me that it feels a bit different when you're in the building. But I know that for some of you, it's not possible to be here for a season. This morning, I want to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 6. We are starting a new series. A short series, rather. And I'm reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, from verse 1 through to 8. Numbers, chapter 6, from verse 1 through to 8. If you're there, I would read with us. Are you able to put ESV or New King James? Okay, I'm going to start. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, whenever a man or a woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink, neither shall he drink any grape juice nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine from seed to skin. All the days of the vow of his separation no razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow." And verse 6, "All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother, for his brother or his sister, when they die, because his separation of God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord." This is reading of God's word. Amen. We thank you for this morning. As we get into your word, I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you may open our eyes and our ears in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to start a series called Open Heavens. You know, we are on this theme of open doors, a season of open doors, and part of open doors has to do with open heavens. But I don't want to talk about heavens as such. I want to talk about life here on earth and how the way we live can affect the heavens. Is that okay? So the way we live under the heaven and in this earth can have an impact on God, on the heaven and heaven opening for us. So I'm going to focus very much on life here on earth so that we can relate and begin to align our lives in such a way that heaven can open. Is that okay? And so we start today, our first part today, we're looking at a separated life. A separated life. There are four parts that we're going to look at, but today we just start with living a separated life. Living a separated life. How does one live a separated life? Now, the story we just read, the scripture from the gospel, from the book of Numbers, it's about a Nazarite. It's not a Nazarene. It's a Nazarite. You've got to make that distinction, okay? And God speaking to Moses, he says, I want to tell you something about a Nazarite. Now, what does a Nazarite mean? This is a Hebrew word coming from, it basically means to be set apart, to be separate, or to dedicate. That's what Nazarite means. Nazarites were men or women who dedicated themselves wholly to the Lord. It could be a male, it could be a woman, it didn't have to be a priest. This was just an ordinary person from the tribes of Israel who wanted to live a dedicated life to God, a wholly separated, set-apart life for God. And so God gives instruction about this. The main thing about a Nazarite has to do with separation. Okay? It has to do with separation. I need you to keep in mind this word because this is what we're talking about today. Separation. Separation, separation. They were to be consecrated to the Lord. So when a person took a Nazarite vow, it was a commitment to be different, to be holy, to be set apart for God's purpose. Okay? To be set apart for. You know, just in this one chapter, Numbers 6, the word separated, or the other word separation, is mentioned at least 16 times. Okay. So that's what we want to sit on today in this text, to do with separation. In the Bible, the word separation always comes with a twofold experience. Okay, it comes with a twofold experience. The first experience is that of being separated from something. Okay? From something. So, Numbers 6 verse 3 said, you shall be separated from wine. You with me? Say, it's quiet in here. You are intimidating me when you get so quiet. Okay? Okay. I'm going to say that again. So, whenever we talk about separation in the things of God, we're talking about, number one, separation from something. You with me? Separation from wine. Separation from grapes. Separation from whatever it is. That's the first aspect. But there's a second aspect of the word separation in the Bible when it's used. It means separation to something. Separate. That's verse 3. Number 6, verse 3. It said, then you shall be... Sorry, verse 2, if you could take us to verse 2. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, whenever a man or woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite, to separate himself to who? To the Lord. So you separate yourself from something so that you move into something. You with me? So God takes his children from Egypt so that they can worship him in the desert, so that they can glorify him in the desert. So they're taken from Egypt into the promised land. Those two words are important. God will take you from a life of sin into a life of dedication to him. That's how scripture works. So you are separated from something. So living a separated life, therefore, is a function of being separated from your past life into a life dedicated to God. That is, in a nutshell, that is what a separated life is all about. Hence this text that says, if you decide to be a Nazarite, if you voluntarily choose to be a Nazarite, then you've got to understand this thing about separation. It's a difficult world in our century today, in our world today, because that word is so difficult to live out. But anyway, we will see from today's message how we can be helped to live separate lives. Even though they did not have to, you must understand that even though they were to be separate, God was not saying they must be separated from people. You with me? They were not to be isolated completely from the world. They were to abstain from things that God did not allow. Very important to note that. They are to be fully devoted to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to how Paul postures this thinking when he's talking about this whole issue of some things being used for something, other things being used for another use. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, now, in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Let's keep going. Now, in a great house, They are not only, okay, verse 21, please. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. And what is it used for? It's set apart as holy, useful for the master of the house, and ready for every good work. So this is Paul. Paul says, in a house, there are two vessels. One is for honorable use. The other is for dishonorable use. But the one that's for honorable use is because it's set apart for that use. You with me? So in a church, for example, there are Christians. We sing together, we sing hallelujah, we clap hands, we jump, we even serve in the same ministry. It's true. It's true. We carry Bibles or our phones with Bibles, I suppose. Whatever it is that you do, the issue, however, is, are you set apart for God? For honorable use? For His purpose? It's not enough to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. You've got to go further and make a voluntary decision to have your life set apart for Him. You've got to choose this life. It's called the separated life. The separated life. So you can claim all you like about open heavens. You see, access cannot be given to open heavens unless you begin to understand living a separated life. You got to understand this, don't you? You have to understand this thing about open heavens. There are three men that lived this life of Nazarite. It was Samuel, the prophet. And if you follow the ministry of Samuel, heavens were open. Heavens were open in the time of Samuel, for him at least. And then there was an interesting guy called Samson that we're going to focus on today. Samson was a champion, but he was a clown. Okay. So he had open heavens, but he was manipulating them for his own purposes. And then we have John, the man who came to introduce Jesus Christ. He was a Nazarite. He lived in alone somewhere. He ate a very, very interesting diet. But God used him. Heavens were open for him. In fact, at one point when I was baptizing Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear that heavens opened because of a man who lived a separated life. So I want to talk about that life. That life. Number one, okay, so what do I have to do to live a separated life? Number one is exercise self-control in your personal life. You've got to. A separated life. Oh, no. Exercise, let's ignore that, okay? Here's what I want you to write. Exercise self-control in your personal life. Exercise self-control in your personal life. Like, if you can change that, please do. Okay? So, they were not to drink wine. They were not to even drink grape juice. They were not to drink any vinegar or any fermented drink, or a simpler version says strong drink. Alcohol content. Okay? That's what he's talking about. The commitment to refrain from wine wasn't just refraining from wine. The Bible says they were not even to eat grapes or the skin of grapes or the seed of grapes. They were not to touch that at all. They were to exercise self-control. Now, none of this makes sense until you understand that wine was the primary symbol of joy in those ancient days. If you wanted fun, you had to have a bottle of wine, a glass of wine, to make. I don't know if the world has changed that much, even today. Probably not. But in those days, you removed grapes from your diet and all the byproducts. If you removed them from your diet, you were basically sending a message to your friends that I will not partake in the daily normal pleasures of my time so that I may be set apart for God. You with me so far? So let me ask you a question. Have you ever denied yourself something that you really wanted besides the boundaries of finance limiting you. Amen. I could be driving an Audi V8. Okay? But the only limitation is finance. So I'm not sure it's self-control there. There's another control at work. I don't know. But let me say this. If there's an appetite right now that you cannot place control on over your life, you've got to think seriously about living a separated life. You know why? Because anything left uncontrolled in your life will eventually weaken you. Anything. Anything left uncontrolled in your life, should be coming up on the screen sometime. It will weaken you. Eventually, it will weaken you. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether it's whether it's chocolate, whether it's going to the gym, whatever it is, or speed on the road, if you're one of those, whatever it is, example. It could be the way you spend money. It could be the way your relationship with chocolate, for example, with alcohol. A separated life means placing self-control in those areas. You've got to bring self-control. Let me give you an example. In the book of Judges, chapter 14, we meet a gentleman called Samson who was a Nazarite from birth. Okay? Remember God speaking to his mom, saying this. In fact, the mother herself had not to drink wine or anything like that because that which she was going to carry was going to be a Nazarite. And that was Samson. So when Samson is born, he comes out, he's a Nazarite, he's powerful, he's used of God. But listen to verse 8. It says, of chapter 14, book of Judges. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah. Now, Timnah is an interesting place because is that verse 8? Timnah is an interesting place because, no. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anyway, hear it from me. Here we go. I'm reading a scripture. I don't know whether it's that verse, but it's in the Bible. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. The vineyards of Timnah. So here is a Nazarite. Remember, he's not supposed to be anywhere close to grapes, or rather not eat them. But what does he do? Samson decides to go to a city which is known for the best vineyards. And we know that wine comes from where? Grapes. And he goes to the source of grapes. I mean, the source of wine, which is lovely grapes of Timnah. And what dragged him there is his appetite for women. Anything that you can't control will weaken you eventually. So he finds himself in a land full of grapes, and he sponsors a 7-day feast because he was getting married to a lady there. And so in those days, if you were the groom, you had to, praise God for COVID, I mean, at the moment, if you want to get married, because, you know, you got to spend only for 30 people. But in those days, the feast lasted 7 days, and you, the groom, paid for it. Can I hear an amen here? Amen. 7 days of getting people drunk at your expense. And guess who funded this party? A Nazarite called Samson. He wasn't drinking too? Should I say he said, oh, I'm a Nazarite, I don't touch this, while in the middle of vineyards. I want to ask you a question. Where are you this morning? Are you in Timnah? Surrounded by grapes. surrounded by feasting, and yet saying, I'm a Nazarite. Where are you? See, a separated life is about self-control. Samson could not control himself. Can I say that? Have you ever heard of the word discipline? Discipline is very connected to self-control. Discipline means, a part of disciplining yourself is you talk back to your feelings. Okay? So, for example, your feelings can say, I don't like exercising. I don't like going to work today. Those are your feelings telling you, say, you don't need to go to work no more. Your feelings can even tell you, I don't want to pray no more. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't like reading Leviticus. These are your feelings telling you. I don't feel like going to church or having dinner with my family, for those families that eat together. I would just sit in my bedroom and relax. Is someone listening here? Listen to me. You need the discipline to respond to your feelings. Talk to them and say, you are doing it anyway. You with me? You are doing it anyway. Now, here's one thing you should not do when you're talking about self-control. Don't negotiate with your feelings. Don't. You know, if you're one of those people that wake up in the morning to pray, and it's raining, and you can hear the tap, 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 tap sound, and you're tugged deep inside your blankets or whatever it is you use. And then the rain goes ta 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 ta. Then there's this little voice saying, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Even if you have had a nightmare, you know that when you have a nightmare, you've got to wake up and pray. You should know that. Okay? You should know that. Do you know that it takes, if you try and negotiate with your blankets, if you try and negotiate with your feelings, saying it's really cold, oh, it's really lovely night, lovely hour to be asleep. Do you know what will happen? You will not go to pray. Don't negotiate. A separated life means you don't negotiate with anything against God. You got to. There's nothing wrong with feelings, but, you've got to decide in advance how you're going to live. You will lose every time you try and negotiate. That's why for Joseph, there was no negotiation. Self-control was that I don't want to go this route with Potiphar's wife. I'm not going that route. I'm not negotiating either. I'm telling you today that you don't need to negotiate too with sin. Number two. So we said exercise self-control. I'm sure the second one will be different on the screen. Make self-denial your lifestyle. Praise God. We got it right. Oh my. Something is happening at the back there. So, what do I mean? The Bible actually says, I think it's verse 5 of Numbers chapter 6, where it says that a Nazarite does not cut his hair. Right? It's a vow. Once you make a vow of separation, a Nazarite cannot cut his hair. Okay? Whether it's male or female, they don't cut their hair. I don't know about extensions, but anyway, you don't cut your hair when you're a Nazarite. So what happens is you let your hair grow without restrictions. Is that right? Because your hair is a living part of the body. It is a symbol for the life of that person that has been dedicated to something. You with me? So, it was a symbol that you had given God the reins of your life. So your hair just grows, but it's the appearance communicates something to those that see you. And what is communicating is that this man, this woman, has given control of their lives to God. So it's visible. It's not hidden. It's visible. If you have seen people with long hair, we call them Rastafarians or whatever, they are distinct, okay? But in this case, the distinction does not come from the hairstyle. It comes from what the hair represents. You with me? So, there's something powerful about that. But however, our friend Samson, in Judges 16, verse 17, listen to what happens. Because Samson was a Nazarite. But Samson was not a seasonal Nazarite. He was born to live a lifestyle of being a Nazarite. Because you could be a Nazarite for a season. But for Samson, his calling was such that he had to be one until death. So his hair was distinct. He had never cut his hair. He had never cut his hair at all. And this is what happens in verse 17 of Judges chapter 16. He says, and he told her all his heart. He's talking to Delilah, who has been, basically, Delilah is a system or a setup that tries to find the secret to your calling, the secret to your anointing. And that system tries to empty you of that and then use you for something else that you're not meant to be. Are you with me? Basically, Delilah's spirit is there to deconsecrate you. So it moves you from being set apart for God to being set apart for the devil. That's what it does. So Delilah then continues nagging him, saying, I want to know the secret of your anointing. But Delilah is very gracious. She's very lovely. She's not aggressive at all. She's not aggressive at all. She has a gentle spirit. And our playboy guy, Samson, who's a leader in the church, by the way. Is someone listening here? He's a leader in the church. This is what happens to him. And he told her, what? All his heart. And said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. The separation is gone. In less than 2 minutes, she shaves that whole head. The distinction is gone. The poor guy denies God. He denies the secret of his separated life. From that moment onwards, from being a champion for God's people, set apart for God's purposes, he becomes a clown of the devil. Set apart for entertaining people. It's a dangerous thing to negotiate your separated life. Self-denial. It wasn't Samson's hair that gave him his strength. You understand that, don't you? It was the consecration to God gave him his distinction, his strength, that separation to God. It wasn't about, don't get caught up with the appearance. Don't get caught up with that. Get caught up with the secret of that appearance. It's self-denial. He allowed it to be cut off, and so he compromised his separation, his consecration. Self-denial is something that each and every us needs to embrace and apply in our lives. You know, when we can look at Samson and say, I will not be like that. But we can see ourselves in Samson, don't we? A little bit of Samson where we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm not sure about following him. I'm not sure. It's too expensive to follow him. It's too costly. Jesus You can be my savior, but I'm not sure about you being my Lord. You know, where we say, oh God, I love you so much, but I will be careful with how I use my time, my treasure, and my talent. We have not denied to that degree yet. We're careful. We time ourselves. We pace ourselves. But are you willing to release control of your life to Jesus this morning? Because that is the direction of travel for a separated life. That is the only way you can open heavens if your life is separated. It's not enough to believe in Jesus Christ. What does Jesus himself say? Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it. And whoever gains his life will lose it. That's a life of self-denial. It is Jesus himself who says, if you don't carry your cross and follow me, then you are not fit to follow me. That's what he says. It's a life of self-denial. Whenever you follow Jesus Christ, you are preparing yourself to deny something. You know, there are seasons in life when you are so hungry, but because you have set aside time to seek God in prayer and fasting, the chips have to pass. The chicken has to pass. The ribs have to pass. Whatever it is that you do has to pass. Why? Is it because you don't like them? No, you do, but you have denied yourself so that you give yourself over to God. In some cases, even holiday has to pass. It's quiet in here. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Why don't I understand? Why don't I understand? Denial means you make up your mind that I will lose this so that I may gain something in God. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Okay, let's do the last one, and then I realize I'm getting some signals at my time. Here's live out your calling in God. If you look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 6, it then says, a Nazarite has to be separated from a dead body. Move on to verse 6. I think that's verse 5. He shall not go near a dead body. That's a Nazarite. And then it goes on to say, verse 7, even if your mom or dad or a close relative passes away, a Nazarite could not be in that funeral service. You with me? They had to stay away from that. Now, that's really tough. Yes, it is. Because you have dedicated yourself to God. In the culture of the day, the preparation of the body for burial was done by close relatives. But if you were a Nazarite, you would not participate in that. You could not because of your dedication to God. A dead body caused a person to be unclean. So corpses have a defiling power. I mean, even in our day today, when we bury a body that has caught, for example, COVID, you find that the burial instructions are different, isn't it, from an ordinary death. It's for the simple reason that there's a defiling power in a corpse. And so people of the living God were forbidden to touch them. Whenever you are a child of God, there are toxic situations that you cannot be anywhere close to them. It doesn't matter how anointed you are, because of the toxicity of that environment, of that situation, of that person, you cannot be found in that vicinity. You with me? And this is what God was saying to a Nazarite, saying, you cannot be found there. You cannot be seen there. You cannot be heard having visited that place. You can't. But what does Samson do? Samson, our friend. Judges 14, verse 8. Again, because of his... He sees a lion while going to marry this girl from Timnah. He rips this lion apart, and then he comes back to to have this party for his bride, verse 19 of chapter 14. In verse 14, when he comes back, he realizes that the carcass of the lion, something has grown inside of it, and it's honey. What does he do? Now notice that a lion is a dead thing. And here is a Nazarite who had taken a vow to stay away from corpses, from dead things. What does he do? Because of his appetite for the honey, he reaches out for it and pulls it out and starts eating it. A Nazarite who's supposed to stay away from dead things. Oh, Pastor, but it was lovely, Pastor. Oh, come on. You don't understand, Pastor. That's what this generation says. You don't understand. There was nothing I could do, Pastor. What could I have done? Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I feel like telling some people, close your eyes. When you walk past that place, just close your eyes. Just walk in the spirit. Just close your eyes. Oh, my goodness. God help us. God help us. Are you with me? May the Lord give you understanding. Do you know that throughout Scripture, God has called his people to be separate? He says to the nation of Israel, be you holy, for I am holy. He says it. God knows that we become like whoever or whatever we spend our time in or with. He knows that. If we spend our time with people that curse, we will be cursing soon too. If we spend with people that are disparaging of God, we will start doing the same. David tells us that in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and to 4. He tells us that kind of thing. So God wants us to be like him. Not like the world. Even though we are in the world, God wants us to be like him. We are different, church. We are different. We are not the same as the world. Even though we are in the world, we have been called out to be different. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Says, therefore, come out from them and be separate. There is that word. Be separate, and the Lord, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch no unclean thing, and I will open heavens for you. Touch no dead thing, I will open heavens for you. You cannot play both camps. You have to choose where you are. Samson was trying to be a macho man, was trying to be a playboy, he was also trying to be a church leader. It didn't work. It didn't work. Separation in Scripture always has those two meanings, separating from in order to be separated to something. So separation from whatever it is that is contrary to the mind of God, whatever is contrary to the will of God, it can be your motives, it can be your desires, it can be your appetites, separate yourself from that. You got to. Separation so that you are given unto God. And this is what the world hates. When you are looking different, what all the debates in the world about, where the church is being forced to accept the culture of the day so that we look like the world. And I want to say to you today, don't be ashamed of being different. And you don't need to hide it, because a Nazarite was distinct by his hairstyle. You could not miss them. People must know the church. People must see the church. People must feel the power of the church. They must. Not because we shout the most, but because we are on our knees. Because we call on the name of the Lord. We are distinct. We are different. We don't need to look like the world. Oh, Pastor, you know, I don't want to be behind. Behind what? Oh, you see, Pastor, everyone is watching that movie. Oh, everyone has got that app. Why do you need that app anyway? Oh, I just need it, Pastor. You don't even know what you need it for? Be separate. You don't need to look like your neighbor. For your citizenship is not of this world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Be separate. Be separate. But we must make ourselves available for God. As a Christian, we are called to be different. I'll say this over and over until it's a foreign concept for us, because we like to be like everybody. We like not to be different. We like to blend in. We want to talk the same. We want to look the same. We want to listen to the same music. We want to, you know, have a swag like the world. And we think it's cool in church to have a swag from the world. We copy and paste stuff from the world. So if someone is putting on this, we also want a hairstyle from the world. What has happened to the church? What has happened to the people of God? A separate life opens heavens. Don't be like the world. We are called to be different. I know the pressure is on, especially if you're young. I know the pressure is on. But hey, you don't need to believe everything the world is telling you. You don't need to. You don't need to impress anybody except God. You don't. Everyone can believe that we come from monkeys, we come from whatever. I don't. Because the Bible tells me where we started, where we come from. So I will not just read it because a professor so and so said so. You're listening here, aren't you? Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. The world does not have all the answers of life. Answers of life are found in a person. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to look like we're in the world or look like the world. God wants us to look like His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? That is freeing for me to look like His Son. But I want to just finish with this. So as we look at Samson, Samson was supposed to be a picture of what it's like to live a separated life. But Samson disappointed us. No self-control, couldn't deny himself his appetites. Samson could not have it together. But there is one who came called Jesus, who denied himself the joys of his day. In fact, he says, "That which I do is not my will, is the will of the Father." He denied himself all these things. He gave himself completely to God, so much that he became the sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice sacrificed on Mount Calvary. He gave his life so that we may be free. My friends, that is a perfect example of a separated life. Do you realize that he died at 33 years old? He could have lived longer. He died at 33, says, "It's finished. It's finished." A separated life. We can look unto Jesus this morning. And I want to just speak to someone. You know, there's something good about God, something special rather about God. And I see it in what happened to Samson. His hair has been cut. He has compromised. His lifestyle is tarnished. But he makes one more prayer. Someone say one more prayer. He makes one more prayer. Someone say one more prayer. He makes that one more prayer. And he says to God, "May my hair grow again. May my hair grow again." Because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of second chances. God is a God of third chances. God is a God of a trillion chances. And as he cries out to God, guess what happens? The power of God comes upon Samson. His hair begins to grow. You know, you might have missed this thing. You might have compromised. You might have even lived a double life, for all you know. But there is a place in God where you can confess, where you can seek for forgiveness and cry out for His mercy. And you know what God will do? His power is going to come upon you. He's going to forgive you. And you can start again. This separated life, you are not written off until you decide to. You can make up your mind and say, "Lord Jesus, I come to you. May my hair grow again in my prayer life. May my hair grow again in my reading the Word of God. May my hair grow again in my commitment to the things of the Spirit. May my hair grow again in my being separate, in my being distinct, in my being a woman of God. You can come back to God. I want to pray with you right now. If you could close your eyes. If you're in this building and you are making that prayer right now, I want you to stand on your feet from where you are. I'll pray with you. As you stand saying, God, I come to you. God, I want to be that woman who's set apart for you. I want to be that man who wants to live a separated life. I come to you today. May my hair grow again. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to pray. I think we're finished on. I want you to begin to pray for yourself right now. Why don't you open your mouth? Why don't you open your mouth and say, Lord Jesus, may my hair grow again. Hallelujah. Come on, open your mouth and say, God, may you touch my hair again. May I be distinct. May I be different. May I be set apart for you. May I be consecrated to you, O God. Separate me from sin. Separate me from compromise. And I dedicate my life to you, O God. Begin to speak to God. Open your mouth. Let him hear your voice today. Amen. Let him hear you speak to him today. Come on, church. Speak to the living God. Begin to speak. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Say, God, may my hair grow again in the name of Jesus. I choose to be different. I choose to be separate. I choose to be a man of distinction. I choose to be a woman of distinction. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. I give up control. I give up control. Father, take over my life. Take over my life. Take over the reins of my life. In the name of Jesus, I give up my addictions today. I give up. I decide to live for you, O God. In the name of Jesus, mighty God. Hallelujah. Rebo sekedebo. Rabo shekedebo. Sekedebo. Sokoraba. Rebo setedebo. Rebo shekedebo. Rabo seketepe. Sikorobo. Sheketepa. May my hair grow again. In the name of Jesus. Let my hair grow. Let my hair grow. Let my hair grow. In the name of Jesus, one more time, O God. One more chance, O God. Have mercy on me, O God. In the name of Jesus, my hair grow. Let my hair grow. Take over, my God. Take over, my God. Take control. Take over my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Rebo suku rebo sutereba. And God's people said, Amen. So, mighty God, as we lift up our hands this morning, may you anoint us. We choose to have separated lives, lives that are set apart for God. May the chains of compromise fall in the name of Jesus. Break the chains of compromise. Break the chains, my God, of sin in our lives. Where we've indulged in all sorts of things that you have told us to be separate from. My God, may those things be broken today. In the name of Jesus, as we choose to live for you. We can't do it in our strength. We need the power from on high. The power of the Spirit of God. So Lord, will you fill us today? Will you give us power to overcome? In the name of Jesus. So that heavens may begin to open. Heavens may begin to open as we live these separated lives. Lives dedicated to God. Lives set apart for God. Lives, my God, that are wholly given over to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And God's people said, Amen. May the Lord bless you. We continue with our theme next week as we press in to this type of life that opens heavens. God bless you. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.